All right. So, first of all, if you are here today and you are a husband, that's your role right now. You are married to someone, you're a husband. Would you please just quickly stand up? I'm not going to embarrass you other than that. Just stand up where you are if you're a husband. Well, so I think we need to let the women leave now and go have coffee or ice cream somewhere, but today this is going to be for you guys. Thanks, you can be seated, okay? Nothing that we have to say really is about women, about wives, or for them. And if you think that what I have to say isn't relevant, I want to play a little video clip right now that goes way back, probably to early, I don't know, 1800s, 1900s. So maybe you recognize this.
You're finally here. Let's go home. It's late for supper.
I want to see Muttle's new machine.
You'll see it another time. It's getting late.
Quiet, woman, before I get angry. Because when I get angry,
Start over. You can't. Sorry. It needs to go up. There we go.
You're finally here. Let's go home. It's late for supper.
I want to see Muttle's new machine.
You'll see it another time. It's getting late.
Quiet, woman, before I get angry. Because when I get angry, even flies don't dare to fly.
I'm very frightened of you. After we finish supper, I'll think.
Mulder, I am the man in the house. I'm the head of the family. And I want to see Muttle's new machine now. Now let's go.
You think that was a relative issue back then? Yeah, it certainly was. So today I'm going to talk to you men, and what I have to say is we live in the world of certainties in the Bible and process in our lives. And so whatever we have to say, wherever we are, wherever we have been as men, as husbands, it's a process of growing and changing and becoming the man that God wants us to be. Nobody here has arrived, okay? So I just want you to know that. So where do we find out who the man of the house is and what that means? Where do we turn? We can turn to our culture. We can watch movies. We can watch all kinds of things, the celebrities and the musicians, and we can say, well, that must be how marriage is supposed to work. And we can look around at other Christians and say, well, my neighbors are Christians, and that's how they run their lives. And the other thing is that we might decide, and this is where I think men must pay attention, because sometimes a man will give up his rightful role as head of the home because his wife is much smarter, because she's more gifted in leadership, because that may very well be the case in the home, where the woman is strong, and she's a leader, and she is capable, and she's good at making decisions, and I don't feel like, and so I'll just let her be the head. I'll let her be the head of the house. And we can, what are you going to say, John? Well, I don't know about the cooking part, but but we can say a man can defer, because in reality, she is really, really gifted. And then today we want to look at, what does God's word really say? And if God says it, if it's God's design, then I think we need to pay attention to what God has determined, right? I think so. So I want to say this, that the very instant, well, I want to be really careful to say, the very instant that a man utters the words, I do, he assumes God gives him an assignment in the home. That the husband, all of you husbands who are here have been assigned by God a role of leadership, godly leadership in your home. And you can't defer it. You can't delegate it. You can't let someone else lead. You are the leader in your home. Everything rises and falls on you. And if you don't do it, You're sinning. And I want to make it really clear, if you're a man, you're not the ruler, the leader, the head of every woman. You're not, okay? You don't have that authority as a man. Just because I'm a man, I'm in charge of all women. That's stupid. You are head when you say, I do, and God assigns you a role to play inside of the walls of your house. And our culture is totally messing this up. And men are weak, and so strong men make for good times. Have you heard this? Good times make for weak men. And so I think we are called by God to be strong men in this area. So the husband is not the head of all women, but he is called to assume a role within his house. And so a man has to move out of childhood and into maturity, into a man, into manhood, which is the whole process of establishing order in your own life. A boy is chaotic. A boy is dependent on other people to lead them. A boy is a boy. But a man grows and begins to establish order. Order with his own walk with Christ. Order with his finances. Order with his goals in life. Order with so many things. And so The husband has been called to grow into his role out of childhood and to be the kind of man who serves as head of his wife. If you're confused about that, and if you don't believe me, and I know that if there are people listening to this who don't agree, well, I'm going to just tell you what God's word says. And you can, it's not rocket science. It's not difficult to understand. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. It's so plain. It's plainer than the nose on your face, men. It's plain. It's not debated. You can't mix this up. It's right there. It says, for the husband is the head of his wife. I don't know how you could misinterpret the plain words of God. The husband is the head of the wife. Of course, there's a way that a husband lives that out, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. 1 Corinthians 11:3, if that wasn't clear enough, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Paul was pretty clear about this. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, it says, but I want you to understand. I want you believers in Corinth, in the church in Corinth, to understand that Christ is the head of every man. So every man is submissive to or under the authority, the headship of Christ. There's nobody that's out from under the headship of Christ, and that the man is the head of the woman. And that means that she is underneath his headship in the home. And and then he gives the reason in chapter 11, verse 8, for the man does not originate from woman. I don't need a reason, but Paul gives the reason that man was there first, Adam was there first, and out of Adam became Eve. And that was enough for God to say, man does not originate from the first woman, but woman from the man, because he took a rib and formed her. So so what does it mean to be the head? And I am borrowing this. I've been looking at this, teaching this, studying this for a long time. Nothing that I have to say is really original here this morning. But if you have a pencil and a piece of paper, I would like to have the wives write down for their husbands these things, okay? Or men, if you're brave enough, you can write them down for yourself. But what does it mean to be the head? What does it mean to have that role? What is the headship of the husband? So the husband is not the head over all women. I've already said that. But what does it mean? Number one, it means that the husband has been assigned the leadership role in the home. He has been assigned the leadership role. That's his job. That's what he's supposed to be about, okay? He's the leader, and he's the leader in his marriage. I'm not going to go into great detail here. I have some more thoughts, but let's move on. So the second thing that I want you to see is that he has, and this is where you're going to go, whoa, I don't like this, because of the abuses, because of the things that are associated with, but he has the role in the home, and he has been delegated the authority to be the leader in his home. He has the authority. He has, in a sense, God has given him the power to lead. Yes, his power can be greatly abused, but so can the power of the government. If you think that Stalin didn't abuse his role of authority and power during his reign of terror, that's crazy. And I think law enforcement people can, not very many, but they can abuse the authority that God has given them. And certainly a husband can abuse his power, his authority. But if you're the husband, you are, I want to say it like I said it, you are assigned the leadership role. You have the delegated authority. But here's the third one. And that is that you have been appointed the overall responsibility. I don't know if you know, if you can help me understand, what does the word responsibility mean? It means we have to give a response. It means that we have to be accountable. It means that somebody's watching how we do our job and the role that we play and how we treat our wife, and we will give an account for that. So I think those things are all true. I know that in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, obey your leaders and to submit to them because they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. So in the church, authority can be abused too, but the Bible clearly says that the leaders will one day stand before God and give an account. So how can God do this? How in the world could he? Why did he make this up? Why did he establish the order in the home this way? And there's not any real unclear answers. And I want you can write this one down too. The husband is the head of the wife because what? Because of God's decision. That's it. Because of God's decision. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. So the moment that you get married, the husband becomes the head. The husband is the head regardless. Listen to this. This is really important. If you go to a job and your boss is a woman, what do you have to do? What's your relationship to her as your boss in the workplace? What? Yeah, you better submit yourself to her or you're going to be out on your heels. She's your boss. And she may be one of the greatest, she may be far, far better leader than you are. But if you're in the workplace and she's your boss, you better pay attention to what she says. So the husband is the head regardless of his talents or his desires or his personality. And here's the problem. Many times men say, my wife is strong, my wife is a better leader, my wife is more gifted, and so I'm just not going to do it. I'm afraid of doing it. I'm fearful of doing it. I'd rather defer. I'd rather not lead. I would prefer not to lead. And God says, that doesn't work. That's not my order for the home. The husband is to be the head of his wife in the same way that Christ is the head of the church. So I'm going to have some volunteers right now. I asked Josh to come up and be a prop. So he's going to stand here. This is not original with me, but I think it really paints the picture of what we're talking about. So stand right in the middle there, okay? I need three guys over here, husbands. I won't embarrass you, okay, but I need three over here, so come on, come on. I promise I will not embarrass you. Just come on up here. You're just going to hold a sign for a minute. Thank you, Bob. There's one, two, one more over here. One more. Come on. Thank you. Is it Reuben? Yes. This is Reuben. Reuben's new. He lives up behind Guadalajara. He's going to buy all of us tacos after church today. Come on, stand right up here in a row. Thank you. And I need three more over here. There's one. There's two. Wow. You guys don't know this, but you're very helpful to me, okay? Just in a straight line right across here. Just seven of you in a straight line, okay? All right, so in your role as a husband, and this is something I've learned a long time ago, that there are kind of ways that husbands will approach their role as a leader. Okay, they will, and it's kind of on a spectrum. So you may find yourself over here or over here or somewhere in the middle. I don't know where you will fit. But one extreme, sorry, I've got to get this right. I've got it in my notes here so I don't mess this up. Okay, so in the middle, let's do this. All right, in the middle, I'm going to give Josh a break here, and I'm going to call him authentic. He's the model. He's what we want. Don't turn it upside down now. He's just a prop. Please don't take anything too serious here. But you can move from being an authentic leader in the home, an authentic head in your home, or you can move this way. And so I would say, you can become, there it is. Okay, the next one over here is kind of apathetic, okay? Just not too excited. You're just kind of ho-hum, apathetic. You're not really, you're close, but you're kind of not on center. And then you might grow to become Bob over here, which would be absent a lot. Could be like playing golf. Could be doing lots of different things, fishing, playing around, whatever. Just going from authentic to apathetic to absent. And then eventually out there. Sorry, Reuben. Nothing personal here. Okay? But abandon. Okay, it's divorce or separation or something like that or bad. So that's kind of one direction away from authentic. Going the other way would be right here. So this is authentic. This is authoritarian, okay? Wielding power. I'm the head of the house. Golda, I want to go see the machine. Kind of like that, yeah. We know who the head of the house is, and we know who isn't. And, you know, I could camp on that a lot. So the next one is kind of even more out there, and that would be autocratic. That's where you become the general. You bark orders. You live in that realm, okay? And then finally over there for Dan. Sorry, nothing personal, okay? But this is where you become abusive, physically abusive, emotionally abusive, where it just is way out of hand, okay? And so, and men, husbands fit into that spectrum somewhere, right? And so men over here tend to lead by anger. Anger is the dominant emotion. Anger just gets stronger and more stronger and abusive. And on the other side is fear. I'm afraid to lead. I'm apathetic. I don't know, is the picture clear enough for you guys, the spectrum that you might be on? And in the middle is, I think, the target of what God would like for us as men. Except not, don't hurt Josh, okay? He's just a prop. So thank you. You guys did a good job. Thank you. You can hand them in to Josh there. That would be great.
Take this.
Take this.
You're going to give me the authoritative one?
I might. It was totally unscripted, so there we go. Okay, real quickly, again, this is not unique to me. It's something that I've been thinking about for a long time. But here it is. The head in the home has three responsibilities that the Bible teaches. Really, just three. The first one is to rule. To rule his wife. Well, what does that mean? That sounds like something over here. To rule. Well, it doesn't really mean that. In fact, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And of course, 1 Timothy is talking about leadership in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. And you're going to find this word, rule, here. You won't if you don't have a King James. If you have a King James, it'll be there, okay? So, but it says in chapter 3, verse 2, as an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to, and if you have a King James, it says rule there. If you have another translation, it may say manage. But it's not rule like I'm on my throne and I wear a crown and I click my hands and I demand life to revolve around me. That's not what it means. It means to manage. And then it goes on to explain what rule means in the next phrase. Manage his own or rule his own household. How will he take care of the church of God? So rule means to take care of. So if a man is to rule, if his headship means to rule, it's his job, man, to take care of your wife and to be engaged in your household, to take care of her. The second word, the King James uses the word rule. The second one is to take care of. And it comes from, you need to turn to the book of Luke for a minute. Nice parable that we're all very familiar with, Luke chapter 10. But this is a picture of what a husband is to do, the role of a husband. Not just to take care of his wife, but then it goes on to say in Luke chapter 10, verse 34, and he came to him and bandaged up his wounds. Remember the Good Samaritan story? Bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his beast and brought him to an inn, and there it is, and took care of him. That's a picture of a husband to his wife, taking care of her. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. It means to just make sure she is taken care of. Okay? So to rule or to take care of, manage his household, to take care of her. And thirdly is the word provide, to provide. It's the job of a husband to provide. It means, and literally, this is so critical to understand that word, because the word doesn't just mean buy the groceries. It doesn't mean just pay the bills. It really means to plan before. And that shows an awareness of what is going on with her and an awareness of what she needs and what's going on in the family, and planning before so that their finances are met, so that their bills are paid, so that the IRS isn't coming beating on the door. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 uses that word. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So the role of the husband is to rule, to take care of, and to provide. Means to manage, to meet the needs of, and to provide for, to plan ahead for her and for the family. And then finally, the husband embraces the nobility of his calling. All I can tell you, men, is that what God has called you to do is not to sit in the chair with a clicker, barking orders and demanding that the world revolves around you, but he gives you a noble calling to take care of your wife and to love her and to be the head that God calls you to be. And that's so important. So the head embraces the nobility of his calling as head and does not lord it over his wife. I remember having a conversation with a brother in Christ. I know he was a believer. But man, I tell you, when he would open the scriptures, he knew where all the verses were, that he's the boss and he's the ruler and the wife needs to submit to his authority. And I just pitied the woman who was married to him. I really did, because he was really out of line. He was way over here and he needed to grow up. Couple more verses. Mark chapter 10 and verse 42, I think, gives us a little bit of help in this area of the nobility of the calling, the nobility of the role that we need to play. Mark chapter 10. And verse 42. And this is just going to, this is going to help us understand what Jesus has in mind when he talks about not lording it over. It says, calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great men exercise authority over them. So Jesus is just saying, you know what it's like in the Roman army. You know what it's like among the Gentiles. You know what striving to be the one in power is like. You know that. You've seen that. And he says, and Jesus said, but it is not this way among you. There's no room for lording it over or exercising authority. But it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And so we're talking about servant leadership. Dallas Seminary is a great seminary, and I'm so thankful for the time I spent there. And There was a time, and I think it was at the end of Howard Hendricks' life, Dr. Howard Hendricks, and I really respected him. But they developed the Howard Hendricks Center for Christian Leadership, and it just became this obsession with leadership. And I really believe that's an important thing. But I remember one of my professors saying, it probably should better be called the Howard Hendricks Center for Servant Leadership. There's a real difference. There's a worldly authority, a worldly authoritarianism, a worldly lording it over, and then there's a servant leadership. So the nobility of leadership in the home is that we don't lord it over, we don't exercise authority, we do it with understanding. Oh boy, this is like, anyway, it means to have perception, it means to be awake and aware of what your spouse is thinking and feeling. Man, I feel so, yeah, anyway, sorry. We just had some good conversations this morning just about this very thing, kind of thing, and it just is, headship is with understanding. And perception. And listening and watching and paying attention to her in the middle of all the important things that you and I do. First Peter 3:7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. As someone weaker, our culture doesn't buy that. We think that women should compete, or men should compete in women's sports and stuff like that. So, but the Bible says they are weaker in usually physically weaker. Since she's a woman, and show her honor. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers may not be hindered. It just says that if you're blowing it in that area, God's not going to listen to you pray. It's very convicting. It's convicting to me right this minute. That means that if you treat your woman, your wife, without understanding her, without giving her honor, without perceiving what's going on inside of her, God's not going to hear you pray for hours and hours and hours. So you have a big job to do, guys. And I'm not trying to... I'm kicking myself in this too. So this is where it says a head devotes himself to his wife above children, above family, above friends, above recreation, above ministry, and or even work. And that's a really, really important question. Is she number one? It's quiet in here. I really pray that that's the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Our job is to see that she is blameless. That means that she is growing without becoming more without fault in character and conduct, that she's holy, that she's becoming more and more separated from sin. That she is glorious, that means that she is held in high esteem and personally radiant. So those are pretty, pretty lofty words, guys. I've told this story many times, and it's probably the most convicting thing I could say when it comes to men and their wives, because I want to just be really clear. God has assigned you as a man the leadership role in your marriage. He wants you to be a leader. He wants you to move from fear or from anger toward an authentic leader in your home. That's what he wants from you. And the way we can't do that without a wife. You could be mayor of the city. You could be president of whatever, but to be the head in the home, you need someone to lead. You have to have someone to lead. And God is saying that the way that you lead her is very, very important. And the story is that, and I've heard this many times, Bruce Wilkinson talked about when he was married and he was at a graduate school, and I don't know where it was exactly, but it was, I think it might have been Multnomah. But anyway, they got married, and then eventually this couple, they moved away somewhere for about 15 years. And they came back to the school for some sort of celebration or some sort of event. And when they got to the school, here was this woman who had been the dean of women at the school. She was very refined, she was very dignified, and she had been the dean of women at the school. So she had a role of taking care of the students at the school. And as Bruce and his wife walked down the hall, here was this lady. And she hadn't seen him for 15 years, and they'd been newly married 15 years, and now they met in the hallway. And she looked at his wife, and she said, "You look gorgeous. You look amazing." And then all she said was, she turned and looked at Bruce and said, "And you did that. You did that." The product, the proof of our leadership is in the woman that we're leading. Let's pray. Ooh, Father, thank you for the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for your blessing on the men here. I pray that they would understand the wonderful, challenging role that you have given them. And I pray that you would help all of us to grow. Help us to make progress, Lord. Help us to be better, even a little better. And to become the men that you want us to be inside the walls of our home. And I just thank you, Lord, for this time and your word. Thank you that it challenges all of us. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.